my name is Lauren Early, and I am a former six-time World Irish Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Reaching Your Heights podcast experience, episode 20. So guys, I hope that you all enjoy the first couple of lessons that we've done with a guest on the show. They proved very, very popular when I look at the ratings on the podcast. So we will definitely try to get more of those planned in the future. Of course, it's very easy when you're at a, you know, like a world's event where we can actually bring people over who are all in the same area and do a podcast together. But outside of that, obviously logistically it's much more difficult because we have dancers all over the world. What we will try to do, however, there is always an option of bringing other guests online, and we can do like a, you know, like a Skype call-in and stuff, and we can record that. But the difficulty is it's always going to be a trade-off with the audio. We have tried it in the past where we link up through telephone calls with other dancers and try to bring some more value in the podcast that way. But the difficulty is the audio is just not great. So we are working on that. We hopefully will be able to bring more guests on the show. And if you have any idea of who or what you would like to hear about, please get in contact and let us know. And we will try to plan that in the up and coming episodes. So for all of you who are at Worlds, I hope you all had an amazing experience and an amazing time. We had some awesome results come out of the Academy dancers and some awesome results in general. The sport is definitely moving on, and I feel happy that we are definitely a part of that change and things are definitely stepping up. So congratulations to all the dancers and everybody who reached their goals. For those that didn't, now is definitely a time where you go back to the drawing board and work out what went wrong. Remember, knowing your weakest areas will give you the greatest strength, because you're in the strongest position when you know what you're weakest at. One of the biggest problems is people, they do not acknowledge what their weaknesses are because they don't like knowing what they're bad at, right? So they'll just not think about it. The problem with that is if you don't think about it, then you pretend yourself it isn't real. And if it's not real, then you're not going to do anything about it until it's too late, and then until it's highlighted again at the next competition or whatever it is. So the goal here, guys, is to, first of all, acknowledge what you're not great at. And there's no harm in doing that, because you know whatever you acknowledge, you're going to try and make it better. Okay, one of the biggest issues is acknowledging what you're not great at, but then not doing anything about it, because that makes you feel terrible about yourself. So if you can acknowledge what you're not great at on the basis that you're going to go and try and fix it, then all of a sudden that puts you in an extremely powerful position, because now you're going to find the tools and you're going to change what it is. And now that will no longer be your weakness and you can move on. So anybody that did not have a great result, my advice to you is always going to be find out what went wrong, find out the areas that you're lacking in, and then fix it. That simple. So today's podcast, guys, I want to talk about injuries. We're going to be talking a lot about being in a boot, coming out of a boot, what we need to do in all those circumstances, because really this makes up a large percentage of the questions that we get asked every day. And there will always be 20 to 30 questions per day of a message starting like, my knee is sore, I've got knee pain, I've got shin pain, my, you know, rolled over in my ankle, so on, so on, so on. I'm in a boot. So today I just want to address what we need to do when we're in those situations. What is the main goal when we're in that situation? How do we not lose progress? How do we continue to make progress if possible? How do we not make the injuries worse? First of all, when you get injured, now of course there's going to be a lot of different injuries, and so we're going to try and be very generic on this podcast. However, the same rules will generally apply to all individual areas. If you take what I'm saying and apply it to your own situation, you're going to get a lot of value from it. The most important thing is that when you get injured is that you will need to think about rehab and the injury. So that is priority number one, is getting the injury fixed and back to full health. And all of a sudden, 90% of people fail at this hurdle because they do not go through the rehab program properly. You got to remember, as athletes, you're primed to want to be competitive and get back in the game quickly. And one of the mistakes that come with that is that you're probably going to not do your rehab as best as what you can. But when it's explained properly, you can work out that you can actually make a lot of progress when you're injured. And I'll go through that in a second. But goal number one is simply to make sure that you're rehabbing the injury as best as you can, okay? Section first. What am I going to lose in my dance technique section? If I'm in the boot for 8 weeks, what am I going to lose out of that section? To be honest, not a lot. Because like I've always said in the past, when you know how to ride a bike, you will always know how to ride a bike. So if, for example, I cycle a bike to work every day and then I get injured and I cannot cycle that bike, guess what happens in 8 weeks time? I can get straight back on that bike and I can cycle again. Okay, because your body will have already have adapted to the motor patterns and skills required to do that movement, and it will come back to you straight away. Lauren didn't dance for 5 years, and then she went and recorded a dance video probably about 6 months back, and everything was fine. She knows exactly what to do. What struggles in that section is just the accuracy of those steps, okay? Like the next time you get on a bike, you may be a little bit wobbly, but it'll come back within 2 or 3 sessions. It will come back extremely fast. You'll lose a little bit of the stabilization, but that will come back very, very fast within a couple of weeks. So when it comes down to dance technique, being in a boot is not really a big deal. If you're really struggling with dance technique in the first place and you don't have that technique nailed down, you may regress a little bit. But ultimately, we're talking about dancers who do have the dance technique nailed down and are so worried about jumping back to dance class really quickly because they're losing their fitness. Think about what you're actually telling yourself. You know that you're wanting to get back to dance class because you're losing your fitness, right? You're not really worried about losing your dance technique. So if it's the fitness that you're worried about, then why can't we be improving that while we're in a boot? There's no need to be worrying about your dance steps. They will come back very, very fast. So next up, if we have a look at then dance fitness. So we know that when we are dancing in class, we're improving our fitness by default, right? You're training your heart and lungs by going through your dances. But let's say we're in a boot and we can no longer dance. That's okay, because what happens is we can still train the heart and lungs in many other different ways. So we can actually maintain your fitness. And this way you do not lose any progress. You see what I mean? So if I'm in a boot first and foremost, that gives me so much time during the week where I can work on other things. I can work on core work easily. You can just lie on your back. You can raise one leg. You can put pressure on the front of the boot. There's loads of different things we can do. So there's no reason why you can't be working on core work. We can work on a lot of balance work. So nobody has 100% perfect balance and stability on both legs. So why not focus on improving the balance on the leg that you can put on the ground? No problem at all. You can work on a lot of balance and core work, and you can work on a lot of strength work. 9 times out of 10 people are in a boot. They have rounded upper backs. They have bad posture. They do not have a strong upper back. They do not know how to hold themselves properly. They are still weak. They can do a lot of glute work while being in a boot. You can do a lot of core work. You can do a lot of upper back work. You can do a lot of strength work on the leg that is activated, and you can still do a lot of hamstring work even when your leg's in a boot, because you don't need to put pressure on the bottom of the foot. So there is an ample amount of things you can do. There's 360 joints in the body and you've probably just injured one of them. So that gives you a whole range of things that you can do. And this is how we can make progress by default, because 9 times out of 10, this forces you to work on things that you've never really worked on before. And voila, what happens is all of a sudden you come back stronger because you've spent time developing things that you never spent time on before. Like when people go to the gym, they always do the same thing over and over again. They do what they know how to do. This does not force progress because their body's already adapted to it. Okay, if I write a training program, I'm going to put in exercises that people don't like doing, because your body's smart. It's not stupid. It doesn't want to do things it doesn't like doing because it can't really do it. It doesn't have the strength to do it. It might not have the technical ability to do it, but that's where most improvements are made. So in this instance, when you get injured and you still take it upon yourself to train, you get to do things that you never really done before, and this brings about progress, okay? So that's if I'm in a boot, right? Now, if I look at coming out of a boot, what can I do then to keep my conditioning up? Most people are out of a boot in a very, very short period of time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. So what I can do whenever I'm out of a boot is very, very simple. I can do a lot of conditioning work. When you come out of a boot, you're probably still not allowed any impact work, all right? And I get that, that's fine. And I completely agree with that. One of the reasons why most people are in a boot in the first place is because they've done way too much impact. And so that must be something that we avoid and think about long term when we go back into dancing again. Otherwise, the same thing's going to happen. But what's to say that we can't do any other conditioning work? Like I said at the start, one of the biggest things happens when you get injured is you lose the fitness. You don't lose your dance technique. So if your fitness is going to start dropping, let's get working on that straight away. So why can't you jump on a cross trainer? You're flat-footed, there's no impact. The cross trainer is a ski motion. You're going back and forward. You're not going up and down. So it's not very specific to dancing, but it's still going to train the heart and lungs efficiently. And it's gonna make sure that you keep that fitness up, the general aspect of fitness. We can then progress that on to something like a bike. We can stand upright on the bike or seated, but ultimately this now becomes an up and down motion for the pedals driving downwards. And now things start becoming a little bit more specific to dance. If you're standing upright, your upper body is completely straight. So you're working on holding that posture. Your calves and quads are being explosive down through the pedal. You can add resistance on the bike. So now we're doing some strength endurance training. And ultimately, you're completely removing the impact off the ground. So now all of a sudden, what I've got is a dancer who is rehabbing that foot. We're still eliminating the impact, but I can do some seriously hard sessions on that bike that are probably going to be much harder than the conditioning you do in dance class, which means you're going to be come back and you're going to be even more fitter than what you were initially, okay? Again, just by default of doing something different. And then comes about the rehab program. So alongside that, you're going to be working on some rehab work. So if, for example, you have knee pain or you rolled your ankle and you're in a boot, you can then start looking at what you need to do to rehab that ankle properly. So you add in your ankle rehabilitation drills at the start of your conditioning sessions, and then you go on into your conditioning session. If I was injured and I had 3 days per week, let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, if I'm not allowed to go back to class yet, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm working on 20 minutes of rehab work for, I don't know, whatever it is. If you have a broken metatarsal or you lost ankle stability, broken ankle, whatever, 20 minutes of rehab work initially in that program, because you want to do that up front because you're fresh. The little stabilizing muscles are going to respond very, very well. 20 minutes of work followed by a 40 minute conditioning session straight after that. That's 1 hour of work. You do that 3 times per week, and I can guarantee that your fitness is probably going to be much better than what it was previously. In the off days, you can spend time working on that core work at home, lying on your back, some balance work. And this is how dancers come back stronger than ever before. Then when you go back to class, you follow that routine for 4 to 6 weeks. You go back to class, you're allowed to start adding in some dance technique work. And that's it. Your fitness is there. You don't need to be in class for 2-3 hours hammering long dances, because all you're there for is to bring back the dance technique memory, which is going to come back in a couple of 20-minute dance classes. Okay? So you're eliminating all that impact. You know you're just back from an impact injury. So even when you go back to class, you shouldn't be going back to class for full 1 hour or 2 hour classes, because what you're bringing back there is all of that impact again. You know, now knowing your head, you're working on the dance fitness outside of class. You're working on the flexibility and mobility outside of class. So all you're missing is the dance technique. Nobody needs to spend an hour or two on dance technique if they already have it nailed down prior to the previous to the injury. All they need to do is go back and remember how to do it. So, which will come very quickly, by the way. So that's kind of how I would structure a rehab program of, you know, going from getting injured, being in a boot, coming out of a boot, the rehab program after. I wouldn't worry so much about getting back to dance class unless you're right before a competition. But again, the classes don't need to be long. One of the reasons why you get injured is obviously due to impact. Keep it short. Get in and get out. Remind yourself of the technique. Then leave and do all of your fitness work on a bike or something of that nature. And that means that the two will combine and you're still going to have the dance fitness. You're just not working on it by doing 1 or 2 hour classes with all that impact. You're only doing short technique-based classes to remember to learn and improve your steps. And then you're getting out and doing the rest of your conditioning work elsewhere. And it will all come together, okay? And so then you have a couple of different things. Like this week, Lauren posted a video of a jump rope. And we kind of went through an analyzing the jump rope type thing. And in normal Ari Stanton fashion, if something is longer than 60 seconds, people aren't interested. They don't want to read. But then later on that night, you'll get a million questions as to something about that issue. And like I said in the last podcast, I always find it ironic whenever people have so many of these issues. But if you can't give them an answer in one, you know, in one line, they don't want to know, right? And that's just not how improvements are made. And that's just not how champions are born either. So when it comes to the jump rope, really what we were discussing, guys, is to make sure that you can absorb the impact first of all. The jump rope is a great dance-specific exercise because you're being explosive on the calf. But let's face it, if you're already being explosive in the calf 5 days out of 7 in dance class anyway, what is, you know, so great about adding in a 6th or a 7th day of that? Your body kind of already knows how to be explosive through the calf. And if you're doing a skip and rope for 30, 40 minutes, you're not really being that explosive anyway, right? Because you can't be explosive and do something for 40 minutes. So what we're looking at in the jump rope is making sure that you can absorb force properly. So you're landing nice and light like a spring. You don't hear yourself landing. You're containing all that energy. And you're not just adding in more impact for the sake of it. And if you are, you're going to be landing heavy. You're going to be losing a lot of impact through the ground. And you're going to be increasing your injury risk. So there's always smarter and better ways of doing things. I've named a couple before, you know, like being on the bike. Jump rope is an amazing exercise if you can plan it properly. Make sure that you have enough rest in between classes for the joints to heal properly. Any sign of any impact injuries, and I would completely leave it out. And I would alternate it with other forms of cardio exercises that can be done just as explosively, but without the impact, okay? And finally comes the mindset aspect of an injury. A lot of dancers, their injuries aren't rehabbed properly. And one of the issues with this is that the mind knows this. And the dancer feels that they're being paranoid about it. What I mean by this is, if a dancer goes over on their ankle because they're trying to get up high on their toes or something, and when they go back to class, they feel very, very paranoid about getting back up on the ankle again because they feel like it's going to happen again. And this can relate to any injury, by the way, hamstrings, knees, any of those issues. If that's how it happened in the first place, you're going to be apprehensive about it happening again. But if your rehab program has been done properly, the body should already feel comfortable that it has the strength to get into that position. 9 times out of 10, dancers are not being paranoid whenever they feel insecure about going back into that position. It's just normally because the body senses that it's not stable enough to do it, and so it tries to hold back. It's like, if I tell you to jump over a puddle, right? Your body will, in your brain will pick up that you're strong enough to jump over that puddle. But let's say I turn that puddle into, you know, a small stream. You'll stand at the edge of that stream and you'll look and you'll judge if you're strong enough to be able to jump it or not. Okay, if you turn that stream into an even wider stream, at some point your body's going to go, I don't think I can make that. And that's the feedback that your muscles are giving your brain. Your body is weighing up the strength that you have before you go and do something. Now, if you rehab that ankle and injury properly, you will have went through those progressions. Like you would have started jumping the puddle. You would have brought it outwards to the stream. I'm just using an analogy, but the point is that people aren't rehabbing the injury properly, then they're going straight back to dance. They're going to try and do that bigger movement, but there's been no real smaller steps taken to show the body that they're strong enough to do that movement, okay? So what you must understand is that if I need to get more confidence in being up on my toe, how long have I spent just statically being up on my toe? Have I done a lot of drills where I'm holding on to a stick and I'm standing on my toe, then I'm maybe letting go of the stick for a minute or for a few seconds, then grabbing back on? All of these things will build up that feedback and confidence in the brain to know that you're okay being in that position before you start going through things at full speed. So what I would say is that if any of you guys are injured and you don't feel you have the confidence to get into movements, you're holding back a little bit, the chances are that you haven't rehabbed the injury properly, and that's always going to be something that's going to affect your mindset, okay? It's not you, so don't go blaming yourself, but you need to build up the strength properly after an injury, and you need to have a progression going from after you get injured, you can't do anything at all, but what is the angle? You want to be able to get right up on your toe and move at full speed, like for doing rocks or something like that. Then there must be a lot of progressive steps before that, and then the build up to that to build back up the strength and show your body that it's capable of doing that movement, which means you're doing rocks by holding on to something. Before that, you're just standing up on your toe, holding on to something. Before that, you're doing mini calf raises with a 1 second pause at the top of the calf raise to gain the confidence of staying back on the toe, and so on and so on. This will apply for all injuries. So guys, the ultimate goal of this podcast was just to simply to make you aware that when you're injured, I don't want to hear any excuses and anybody being sad about not making progress. You can be sad about being injured for sure. It's not a great thing, but if you do it smartly enough, you can make some great progress. And I have seen time and time again when dancers get injured that we've worked with personally, that we have them back and they're generally in better condition, because 9 times out of 10, they go into that injury. Why the injury has occurred in the first place is because they're overtraining. They have too much impact. Progress isn't being made anyway. Then they get injured. Now that opens up an amazing opportunity for you to actually train properly, recover properly, and work on things you haven't worked on before. So why can't you make progress? Why can't you go back stronger than before and understand that the only thing you're really missing is the dance technique when you're injured? And that will come back very, very quickly, okay? So guys, I hope that helps. I hope you enjoy podcast 20. I know it's a little bit different from the world's exclusive podcast that we've done. We will try to get those back on. But for now, if you have any ideas about that, please just let us know. And I will speak to you guys again on podcast 21.